and learn to fly all your life. Why you've only waited for this moment to arrive.
Oh my God. Oh, that is fantastic. How long have you been a stand-up comedian?
It's going to the top of the charts with a bullet.
Yeah, with a bullet for sure for you.
How long have I been
with? Yeah, how long have you been doing stand-up?
Since 1972.
Ooh. Takes a lot of practice, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun though. It's just a great way to make a living.
It's a good thing to make people laugh. When they're laughing, you're with them. It's so good. Huh? There's nothing like it. That's why people become performers.
Yeah.
For that very reason.
Have you ever seen Brian Regan?
Brian Regan.
Oh, yes,
God,
yes.
I love him.
He's good. I think I saw him on YouTube.
He's very funny.
Well, he's on TV.
He's a multimillionaire now.
You started in 1972. How long until you made money at it? How long till you could live off of that?
Oh, I think late 70s. Oh. Yeah, about 78.
So a few years.
Yeah, I started making money because I started at the Comedy Store on Sunset Strip. And we just would go in and do free sets.
Practice, huh?
Yeah.
Kind of like open mic sort of thing.
Well, yeah. Well, Mitzi had her favorites, and she'd put us up every night, and she got away with that, not paying us for years and years till the big comedy strike.
She knows how to work it.
The big comedy strike? Is this something I should know about?
Oh, everyone was there. Leno, Letterman, we were all on the line, you know, striking against Mitzi Shore. We wanted to...
Because she wasn't paying.
She wasn't paying us, you know.
That's a businesswoman. Oh, really?
Yeah, but it backfired.
Well, yeah, eventually it's
going
to.
We were just asking for like 10 bucks for gas. For, you know, if give us 10 bucks and so we can put a little gas money in our car.
And what happened? Did you get the 10 bucks?
Well, finally.
Started getting money?
Oh, yeah. She finally had to start paying us, you know.
Wow. Where do you live now?
I live in La Quinta, California.
La Quinta, down by Palm Springs.
Yes.
Yeah, do you play around there? Do you perform?
You know, there's not much down there.
Not anymore, huh? There used to be. Used to be a lot of great clubs.
I say to the to my audience, I say that appreciate your weather wherever you live because I know you might get smog, you might get rain, you might get snow, but where I live, it's hot.
Yeah, you get none of that.
Every single day of the year, hot, sunny. I'm 28.
I know
that
it.
That gets a good like.
Yeah, I know
life.
It. And 102 on your skin because of all the, lived down there for a while. Loved it. Yeah. Loved it in the winter, the hot tub thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's the best time to be down there is in the winter. Yeah. So you live down there and you perform all over the world, huh?
Not all over the world, but...
Reno.
Yeah, Reno.
Yeah.
Where are you going from here?
Lake Tahoe.
Oh, you're going to do the Biltmore?
No, I'm going to be with my wife and my daughter, and we're going to camp with our dogs and then go to Nevada Beach for a week.
And write some new material, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
What does your wife think of all this comedy stuff? Do you ever do some wife jokes?
No.
No? You know better?
No, I never do jokes about my wife because there's nothing really that's...
Nothing funny about her?
Just say it. You don't dare.
Yeah, come on.
Just say it. Come on.
Come on, admit it. Come on, admit it, Denny.
She's a great woman, and there's nothing to knock her about, you know, but...
Wow, is he intimidated or what?
Yeah, she's got him whooped into shape. Definitely.
What about the mother-in-law? Is that okay?
No, she's like a saint. You know,
oh, please, Denny.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
can't pick on them. So
well, maybe we'll hear the real story later.
But
someday.
But don't if you're out there listening, don't judge this interview with my ability to make people laugh because I can make them, you know, come to my show, watch my stuff. I couldn't do it since 1972 if I didn't. If I wasn't able to make people laugh.
Hey, we think you're funny.
Yeah, he's convinced me. I want to go tonight.
I know it. You are fantastic. I can tell you're a pro with this.
Well, I my stuff, when I go out on stage, sometimes I'll follow someone that's, you know, talking about politics or something, and I say, well, you don't have to think to watch my act. My stuff
which is better because
well, it's
you
real
just
visual.
Sit there and have fun. Yeah,
yeah, it's visual. I do music. I do impressions. I do stuff that's just, you know, a lot like Steve Martin because Steve, when I was in the folk groups, Steve was our opening act.
Oh, he was funny. He could put an arrow on his head. I remember when he was at the Nugget.
Yeah.
Put an arrow. And you know what was funny about Steve Martin is that they booed him off the stage when he first started at the Nugget.
Well, he started at the Troubadour. He actually started at Disneyland.
Disneyland as magic.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, doing magic. And then he came to the Ledbetters. And then he at the Troubadour and stuff. And he used to get up and read his bad reviews, you know.
Yeah, I know. And the phone book, the yellow pages. Yeah,
he'd read the yellow pages?
Yes, he would put an arrow on his head or something stupid here and there. I laughed hysterically. I thought it was unbelievable.
Yeah, and I usually, when I write something or something, I picture Steve Martin doing it.
The physical comedy thing.
And then I think, okay, that made me laugh. And then so I'll put it in my act because I've already judged it with Steve Martin doing it. So,
yeah, you've already seen it could be funny.
How was the yellow pages funny?
Crazy guy.
Right.
He would read someone's name, but then he'd be jittering around and he put a nose on or some big ears and then read another name. And everybody's laughing and laughing and laughing. But they did boo him off the stage there. And he didn't get off. I mean, they booed him and he didn't get off. He booed him back.
He booed him back.
You ever think about being in movies? Do you want to do comedy movies, Denny? Would you ever consider doing that?
No. I write screenplays, so that's my dream, is to sell a script someday. And
comedy?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You got some in the works? You got everything in the works.
Yeah, I'm always writing, you know, so.
Well, you're fantastic. Please go out and see Denny Johnston tonight. Two shows, 8 and 10. Mm-hmm. And you don't even have to be, you can be 16 or above and still get the jokes.
It'd be better if you were 18 or older.
It would be for, huh?
Then we don't get nervous if we see a 14-year-old sitting in the front row.
That's true.
Can I call in for those free tickets now?
You go ahead and call in. Okay. Denny, we do some more music for us?
He wants me to do more music.
Yeah, we want to do some music. We're going
to
do some music.
Lead us up to
our news. No, we're not going to take a break.
Well, I have.
You can take us right up to our news.
I can't because I'm in open G tuning, which means I have to tune this guitar back up to regular tuning. I wasn't planning on doing another song. Oh, he's saying, the boss is
saying. Oh, look, he's going to let you off the hook.
Okay, so
I'd love to hear some more.
They'll have to come tonight.
Okay, you'll have to go out tonight.
I have so many songs, so many good things in my act.
How fun. We love it. I know you're going to get a big crowd tonight. It's going to be awesome. That is tonight. And if you want to go, still got a couple of tickets left to go. 823-1920. Wayne's feeling very generous today. So if you'd like to go, call in 823-1920. Denny, thank you so much for joining us. You're hilarious.
It's a great club. Come down.
Yes, it's a great club, and you'll have a lot of fun. And we've all been there. I had a great time down there. It's just so intimate. Look, he is actually calling in for those free tickets.
Yeah. Or should I just talk to him directly?
Got to call in. That's the only way you can get him. Did you call the number?
Yeah.
Hey, we're not done. We got a whole hour to go here on Broadview. More guests, more fun, more things to talk about. I'm going to take you right up to the CBS News right here on KBZZ Reno Sparks, an Americom broadcasting station.
CBS News, I'm Sam Litzinger. Former First Lady Betty Ford usually spoke her mind, which sometimes got her in political hot water, but endeared her to many Americans tired of public figures sometimes twisting the truth. She's died at age 93.
This is Steve Futterman in Rancho Mirage, California. Betty Ford is being warmly remembered here today. This is where the former First Lady had lived since 1977 after the Fords left the White House. Official funeral arrangements will be announced here later today. We do expect a memorial service to be held here in California that will likely take place on Tuesday.
Susie Burnett is one of Ford's fans.
I'm a cancer survivor, as she is too, and it's shocking. She was just a fabulous lady. Fabulous. We're all going to miss her.
Ford's longest-lasting contribution may be the Betty Ford Center, which the self-confessed recovering alcoholic founded in 1982 and which has treated thousands of patients. New Defense Secretary Leon Panetta says he hopes President Obama and congressional leaders will bear in mind the need for a well-financed military when they meet tomorrow to talk about budget cuts.
If negotiators suddenly just pick a number and throw it at the Defense Department without really looking at policy, without looking at what makes sense, the danger, as Bob Gates pointed out time and time again, and I agree with him, is I don't want to hollow out the force.
Panetta's making his first visit to Afghanistan as defense secretary. He says there's growing evidence Al-Qaeda is on the ropes, and taking out a few more of the terrorist group's leaders could knock it out for good. It's a historic day for Derek Jeter and for baseball. In his second at-bat today, the Yankees shortstop slashed a home run to left for the 3,000th hit of his career.
Hitting a home run's the last thing I ever thought about. I just wanted to hit the ball hard. I feel as though I've been swinging the bat pretty good since I've been back, and I got a good pitch to hit, and I was fortunate to hit it out.
He spoke on the YES Network. Jeter's the Major League's first player to reach the mark as a Yankee, just the second to do it with a home run. Can you name the first, baseball fans? Wade Boggs. CBS News correspondent Jim Taylor has the story of a man who survived war but was killed while trying to have some fun back here in the States.
He lost his legs in Iraq. Sergeant James Hackamer returned to the U.S. for years of rehab at Walter Reed Medical Center. On his first outing after returning home to Western New York, family and friends going to the local theme park, getting on the roller coaster, Daniel Summer was 10 seats back.
We went on the first drop. We were about 70, probably 75 miles an hour coming down from that drop. And on the first turn, this kid with no legs, he falls out of the cart.
200-foot drop. Hackmer is survived by two young daughters, 3 and 4. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Montana officials have moved out of a joint command post overseeing the response to the oil spill in the Yellowstone River. Governor Brian Schweitzer says ExxonMobil and the Environmental Protection Agency have defied state open government laws, so he's opened an alternate state-run center. This is CBS News.
Hey, everybody. Jay.